Good afternoon, congregation. On behalf of the consistory, I'd like to extend a warm welcome to all those who are worshiping with us this afternoon. May our worship be pleasing to God and a blessing to us all. We have the following announcement. A combined council meeting with the Langley Council re-superannuation is scheduled for tomorrow evening, October 23rd, beginning at 7:30 p.m. in Langley. Time permitting, a consistory meeting has also been scheduled for tomorrow evening, October 23rd. This afternoon, once again, we welcome Reverend Gerald Wieske, Minister Emeritus of the Spring Creek Canadian Reformed Church of Tintern, Ontario, to lead our worship service.
Our call to worship comes from Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Let us now rise for worship. Brothers and sisters, where does our help come from?
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings on earth. Amen. Let us sing of Psalm 101, the stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
I'll lead you in prayer. Lord God in heaven, grant us again your blessing as we are assembled here this afternoon, and may the preaching of your law convict us more and more of our sins and shortcomings. May it teach us how depraved we are in and of ourselves, because we are unable to obey your commandments in our own strength. And that includes the 9th commandment, which declares to us that we must speak the truth before you and the neighbor, so that we promote your and his honor and reputation instead of dishonoring it. Lord, we pray that the truth of your word may continue to be preached in this world, and that many may receive it through the working of your Spirit. We beseech that the lie may be exposed more and more, and that many may be rescued from it before it is too late. Especially the lie that the Christian religion is a hoax, and that we don't need Jesus Christ to rescue us from everlasting damnation. We ask you, Lord, to bless all your faithful servants so that your church be preserved in the unity of the true faith, and it may also grow and increase to the praise of your name and for the eternal well-being of many, many people. O merciful God, prepare our hearts once again for your gospel. May we all receive your word as coming to us directly from you, and may that word also direct us. Also when it comes to our speech and our writing, so that we live in true communion with you and each other. We ask all that only in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon is first from the prophecies of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Starting at verse 13 till 23, and after that we go to Ephesians 4. So we start reading at Jeremiah 23, verse 13. Listen to the word of God. Among the prophets of Samaria, I saw this repulsive thing. They prophesied by Baal and led my people Israel astray. And among the prophets of Jerusalem, I have seen something horrible. They commit adultery and live a lie. They strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns from his wickedness. They're all like Sodom to me. The people of Jerusalem are like Gomorrah. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty says concerning the prophets: I will make them eat bitter food and drink poisoned water, because from the prophets of Jerusalem ungodliness has spread throughout the land. This is what the Lord Almighty says: do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, "The Lord says you will have peace." And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, "No harm will come to you." But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people, and would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? So far, our scripture reading here in Jeremiah. We go now to Ephesians 4. And read the verses 15 to 32. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regards to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Let us now sing of Psalm 141, the first four stanzas.
Oh,
This afternoon I proclaim to you the word of God as it comes to us in the ninth commandment of God's holy law. You shall not bear any false witness against your neighbor. And we gladly make use of our Heidelberg Catechism, which sort of elaborates on this truth in Lord's Day 43. And its elaboration is squarely based on the Word of God. So let us first read Lord's Day 43. What is required in the ninth commandment? I must not give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor condemn or join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, I must avoid all lying and deceit as the devil's own works, under penalty of God's heavy wrath. In court and everywhere else, I must love the truth, speak and confess it honestly, and do what I can to defend and promote my neighbor's honor and reputation. Our response after the preaching of the gospel will be Psalm 140, 1, 2, 6, and 7. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, language is a gift from God. Words and sentences are servants of communication. Just imagine if we couldn't speak or write, or if we couldn't understand each other. Because we didn't have a common language. Well, then we wouldn't be able to communicate either. Then life would virtually become impossible. Life together, that is. Life within the same society. Life within a certain communion. Think, for instance, of what happened in Genesis 11. And people were building the Tower of Babel. As long as they spoke the same language, as long as they could communicate with each other, there were no problems. But the minute God confused their language, the very moment they no longer understood each other, tower building stopped. And community life disintegrated. It just was not possible anymore to live together. And that's why we can hardly overestimate the gift of language. The ability to understand each other, the importance of the word. And yet, that's only half the picture, brothers and sisters. For real communication, true communion demands something more. More than the ability to converse, more than being able to understand each other, and that more is truth. Without truthfulness, without speaking honestly, life still goes to pieces and communion remains impossible. And that's what the ninth commandment is concerned about, that we speak the truth before God and each other, that we don't speak falsely, that we don't twist anyone's words, neither gossip or slander, or condemn in joining, or join in condemning anyone rashly and unheard. Rather, we should love the truth, speak and confess it always and everywhere, and so do what we can to defend and to promote the honor and reputation of our neighbor. And this word of God also comes to us, beloved. In a world where words and sentences are often tools of manipulation, where truth suffers on a large scale, where gossip columnists make a comfortable living, where sensational and slanderous tabloids are devoured by millions, where free speech is pursued and promoted as if it has no limits, and it's especially the media who are pushing for it. They constantly clamor for the freedom of the press but that this freedom often tampers with the ninth commandment seems of very little concern to them. Deceptive reporting, manipulated information, slanted statistics, and doctored news are just as common as the 24-hour flu. But the Lord says, you shall not bear false witness. Yes, he says that to everyone, but especially to us, his children. Because the Lord is concerned about real communion. He wants more than that we just communicate. He wants us to grow in love to him and each other. He wants to see in our lives that we live by the truth of his word. For that is the only way to have real communion. The only way to care for each other and to build each other up. So that together we live in the freedom of Jesus Christ, a freedom that is protected by God's law, also by this commandment. And so I proclaim to you the gospel of our Lord as it comes to us in the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. First, we will see that we must speak the truth, or rather that we must love to speak the truth. And secondly, we will hear that we must speak the truth in love. The power of the word, brothers and sisters, who can fathom it? What a responsibility do we carry that God gave us this means of communication? Our salvation depends on it. Don't we read in Romans 10 that faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes from the preaching of Christ? God himself has ordained it to be that the blessings of Jesus Christ come to us via words and sentences. Salvation is conveyed by means of the ability to speak and to hear. And that reveals how important, how indispensable truth is, especially in church, amongst God's people. Oh, of course, you understand the ninth commandment covers all of life, and it addresses everybody. False witness and lies are out of bounds everywhere, in the courts and in parliament, in business and in education, in government publications and in the newspapers, on the radio and via television. But the worst transgression of this word of God is committed in the realm of religion. And the most destructive damage of this sin is found when the word of God is violated. That was the case, for instance, in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, who was sent by God to preach against the sins of Judah and Jerusalem, sins which eventually caused them to go into exile. Jeremiah had announced this punishment of God, but the great majority didn't believe him. They just could not imagine that the Lord would allow that to happen. And that was the result of the lies which their religious leaders kept telling them. No matter how Jeremiah warned the people of the judgment of God, these false prophets opposed his sermons. They made fun of them, and they claimed that their message of peace, peace, and no danger was the truth. In other words, they bore false witness against the prophet. They told the people that Jeremiah was just a born pessimist who always expected the worst, who constantly talked about judgments, who never had anything positive to say. But that Jeremiah preached the word of God, that this faithful servant of the Lord only passed on what his sender had first told him to say, that was denied. That's what they didn't want to hear. Their job was to keep the people happy, to give them what they wanted to hear, and that's exactly what they did. Even when people despised the word of God, These false prophets in the days of Jeremiah, I'm still talking about, these false prophets said, it shall be well with you. And to all who just lived the way they wanted, they said, no harm shall come upon you. And they backed it up too. For they presumed to speak in the name of God. They claimed that their sermons came straight from the mouth of the Lord. But the results? Within a short time, Jeremiah was proof right. For the people were exiled, not only by Nebuchadnezzar, but by the Lord himself. He executed his covenantal wrath upon them, so that many of them were destroyed. They perished in their sin. And that is now precisely what the ninth commandment wants to prevent, brothers and sisters. For unless we love to speak the truth, that same wrath of God will also be unleashed upon us. For without the truth, there is no communion, not with God, nor with each other. Without the truth, there's only decay, dissolution, disintegration. No relationship can flourish unless it's based on truth. For the opposite of truth is the lie. There's no neutral grounds. And that's why it's so fundamental. That's why our God says, don't bear false witness to your neighbor. For if you do it, you are destroying him. Yes, that applies to all of life. It is true of every relationship, and you can notice it everywhere. The lie has poisoned our society in many, many ways. Millions just don't know what to believe anymore, who to trust anymore, in whom to confide anymore. But the worst of it is when the lie penetrates religion. When pulpits are used to further falsehoods, when pastors speak with a forked tongue, when sermons pass on human wisdom instead of God's truth. And is that not what we see today, beloved? Our God says, love to speak the truth. But how many do not opt for the lie? And it begins with the Bible, the supreme truth. The holy word of God. God who never lies. Oh sure, of course it has been around ever since the beginning. Satan started that long chain of lying and deceit, of twisting words and promoting religious doublespeak. When he said to Eve, you shall not die if you eat from the tree God told you not to eat from. And that's why every lie is ultimately the devil's own work. Jesus himself once said, he's really in his elements, so to speak, because he is the father of lies. When he speaks untruthfully, he speaks according to his nature. He loves nothing better. How terrible then when the lie invades Christianity. When speaking the truth is no longer the only message that is heard from many pulpits. When religious leaders claim divine authorization for the good news they supposedly proclaim, but which in essence is no different than the message of the false prophets in the days of Jeremiah. And the man in the pew, how many are not taken in by that modern gospel, which really appeals to them, because it leaves room for your own ego or their scientific discoveries or their craving for equality or their demands to be recognized, and you can add to that. But what does the Bible say? To the teaching and to the testimony, there is no dawn. For these words, they speak. Only the truth will set us free, brothers and sisters. Free from the bondage to sin. free from the wrath of God, and that truth is God's word. Once you start taking liberties with that, once you let the words of men overrule it, once you no longer accept it as completely true, down to every detail, well, then you better prepare yourself for the worst. For then the communion with God is jeopardized, and the communion of saints will go to pieces. Oh, you may not always see that immediately. From the outside, things even sometimes may seem to improve, but it won't last. Because the one ingredient that is absolutely necessary is lacking more and more, and that is truth. If that is slowly replaced, if the words of experts are preferred to the word of God, the real communion is on the way out. Think again of Judah in the days of Jeremiah, speaking highly of their up-to-date preachers, practicing their religion in line with their carnal wishes, claiming God's protection, because after all, God is a God of love, is he not? But what was the final result? Within a matter of years, they perished. Their privileged position as God's covenant people came to an end because the Lord destroyed them. Chapter 24, verse 10 tells us. And what about their horizontal communion? What about their relationship with each other as communion of saints? Well, the verses 14 to 16, which we read together, give us the answer. Ungodliness reigned in the land. Immorality and deceit were practiced by their leaders, and in due time also started to infect the common people, even to such an extent that their lives stood on par with Sodom and Gomorrah. Just imagine. That is the inevitable result of the lie, brothers and sisters. The terrible aftermath when the truth is no longer loved above all. Then not only the communion with God is lost, but the communion with each other also becomes the exact opposite of what it's supposed to be. True love and concord disappear, and all that's left is sin. Everybody for himself, using each other instead of helping each other. And it hasn't changed, beloved. That has not changed. That still holds true today. For if you no longer love to speak the truth, then life disintegrates. For there is no communion apart from the truth. No life outside of God and the scriptures. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ once said to the Jews of his days. And I quote, "If you continue in my words, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." End of quote. See, there you've got it. That is the only answer to man's search for happiness and peace, for freedom and life. It is truth. Not man's truth, not worldly wisdom, not the humanistic evidence of the so-called experts or the liberal exegesis of ecclesiastical freelancers, but the truth of God, the truth of the Bible, which can only be received by faith, which is only accepted when you approach it as a child. But that's now precisely the problem, beloved. Everybody wants freedom. Everyone longs for liberation. Every human being craves for true communion with God and the neighbor. But instead of loving the truth, they believe the lie instead. Instead of listening to the Lord, they consult their own favorites. Instead of submitting to God's law, they prescribe their own solutions. Yet God says, love me above all, and love your neighbor as yourself. That means obey my commandments, also the ninth one, and therefore love to speak the truth. Because there is no freedom without my law. That's what the father of lies proclaims. But can't you see through his lies? Does this world not reveal his false claims? Where do you find true communion, brothers and sisters? Where are people really starting to live in the freedom which the Bible promises? Where else but in the Church of Jesus Christ? Where else but in the communion of saints? Just look around you. See what the lie has spawned. The government doesn't trust its subjects, and the people don't trust the governments. Husbands don't trust their wives, and wives no longer trust their husbands. Children no longer trust their parents, and parents don't trust their kids. The man in the pew doesn't trust his pastor, and many pastors question their parishioners. And so you can go on and on. Are you really surprised? Why should we, brothers and sisters? Why should we? When the truth of Scripture is ignored, when God is not acknowledged anymore, the God of the Bible that is, then there is no real communion either. All that's left is the shell, the form, but the contents is gone or is rapidly on the way out. Then, strictly speaking, it becomes a dog-eats-dog world where everybody has only one ambition, and that is to look after himself and to promote his own interests. No, that does not mean that nobody tells the truth anymore and that everybody starts to gossip or to slander. After all, the desire for self-preservation demands that people still have to live somewhat decently, that in order to please yourself, you cannot completely get away from pleasing the others as well. But that's not what the ninth commandment is after. A little varnish of civility, a thin coat of respectability. No, here the Lord aims at our hearts. He wants our love. Yes, for him first of all, but also for the neighbor, and therefore for his law, for God and his commandments belong together. That's why he says, don't bear false witness to your neighbor, for that is destructive. Don't gossip. Don't get a kick out of someone else's failures or weaknesses. Don't slander. Don't destroy your neighbor by means of your speech. Don't twist his words in order to promote your own agenda. Don't condemn your neighbor without giving him a proper hearing for the same reason. That is the devil's work. That originates in hell. That destroys relationships. But, says the Lord, you must love to speak the truth about God and the neighbor, and so promote real communion. You must do that everywhere, of course, but especially in church. For truth and peace belong together. The communion of saints can only blossom when it is built on the truth. And that's not only that the full gospel is preached and maintained, but it also includes how you apply that gospel. For the Christian religion is not only that I profess the truth, but it also includes that I practice it. Who is able to do these things? Who can say without blushing that he obeys this word of God? Nobody, brothers and sisters. Nobody. Oh, how does the truth hit home? That through the law we get to know our sins. How often do we not fail God here? How many times don't we let our neighbor down? Here we are reminded how deep sin has permeated our life, how wicked our sinful heart is, how can we ever obey this word of God? Only through the power of God's Spirit, beloved. Only through the renewing work of the Spirit. For don't forget, we don't have to keep this law in order to earn our salvation. No, our dear Savior has taken care of that. He obeyed also this word of God perfectly. He loved to speak the truth, always and in every situation. He never sought his own advantage, but he loved his God and his neighbor. And so he lived in perfect communion with his Father and his brothers and sisters. He even gave his life for that communion, because he died for all our sins, so that we might live for God and each other. Live from the truth that sets us free, and love speaking that truth to God's glory and the neighbor's good. And that's why we should also submit to this word of God, beloved, out of thankfulness, out of love. Let it not happen that in the church of Jesus Christ, gossip teams and slander thrives, that words are wrenched out of context and brothers in the Lord are condemned without a proper hearing. Rather, let us love to speak the truth before God and each other. Let us promote each other's honor. Let's stick up for the brotherhood, for that's the only way to peace and communion. And that brings us to the second point. We must speak the truth in love. For the Lord not only wants us to love, to speak the truth in love, also tells us that we must speak it in love. So not only that we love to speak it, but also that we must speak it in love. We read that from Ephesians 4. For that's how the church is edified, built up. That's how the communion of saints flourishes. That's not only that truth rules, but that it rules in love. After all, let's not forget that the fulfillment of the law is love, brothers and sisters. We heard that this morning too, as the summary of God's commandments. And that also applies here to the ninth commandment. For what's the danger? What caused Paul to add the words in love to speaking the truth? Is truth not sufficient? Does that of itself not assure communion with God and each other? No, it does not, brothers and sisters. It does not. For you can also speak the truth and still serve the lie. You can make factual statements and yet destroy your neighbor, and so dynamite through communion. We've got a glaring example of that in John 8, for instance, where the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman to the Lord who was caught in the act of adultery. And then they said to our Lord, Moses commanded us in the law that she should be stoned. What do you say about her? Oh yes, they spoke the truth. They literally quoted the Bible. The Old Testament demanded the death penalty for adulterers. And yet, these men were servants of Satan, children of the father of lies. For they were out to tempt Jesus, to trick him, to find an occasion so that they could nail him and get rid of him. If he dared to disagree with the word of God, and that woman, that member of the covenant community, that sinner who should have been admonished in love so that she would have repented of her sins, she was only used as a pawn in that dirty game. Those Pharisees and scribes didn't care for her one whit. Oh yes, they spoke the truth. But where was their love? They quoted the Bible, but where was their concern about a covenant member who had sins? And that kind of attitude, brothers and sisters, can also rear its ugly head in the Church of Christ today. When the truth is espoused and zealously promoted, but when you do not detect any love, when people go to almost any extreme to point out all the sins in the church, but show little or no regard at all for the sinner. Oh yes, they often make true statements. And yes, they usually have a point. But you nevertheless recoil from their attitude, because you realize there is something lacking. Or better, you feel that the most important ingredient is lacking, and that is love, love for God and the neighbor, for they belong together. And that's why this approach has no place in the Church of Jesus Christ. Christianity, after all, is more than truth. It is truth spoken in love, faith working through love. Oh, I realize full well that you can misinterpret these statements. And it's done as well on a large scale. When people contrast truth and love, when they play the one off against the other, when they say, for instance, something like, well, you should not pound so hard on sin after all, there's nobody perfect, but you should show more love. Does love, after all, not cover a multitude of sins? And as a result, these kinds of people are tolerant of almost anything, except of those who call sin what it is, and that is sin, and who stress the need of repentance, and who want the church to apply biblical discipline. Let's be wary of that kind of love, beloved. Let's never fall for that kind of smooth talk, for this is love without truth, and the Bible doesn't know that kind of love. Their love, true love, never whitewashes sin or covers it up as if it's not so bad. But let's also be dead scared of the truth without love, of an attitude where understanding and patience are explained as weaknesses, or of an approach which is only concerned about tackling sin, but where the manner we deal with it is virtually irrelevant. Rather, let us take our cue from our Lord. Let's imitate him. Let's follow in his footsteps. Did he not teach us that love is the greatest commandment and the fulfillment of the law? No, once again, that does not mean that love is opposed to the truth. How could they be? Do they not both come from God? Is he not both love and truth? But this is what it means with regards to the ninth commandment. Only when you speak the truth in love, only when you're motivated to seek the good of your neighbor, only when you desire to truly build up the communion of saints, only then you start to obey this word of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, how ought we to be on fire for this word of God? How ought we to seek his glory and our brother's honor? How must we treasure the communion of saints by speaking the truth in love? Always. Let it never happen, brothers and sisters. Let it never happen than when we must admonish or warn that people get turned off by the way we say it, that we hurt and alienate our brothers and sisters by our grating voice, or rather grating words, I should say, our high-handed approach, or our inconsiderate attitude. No, once again, that does not mean that we look the other way, that we have no business speaking to each other if there is sin. We sure have. How can we promote the well-being of our neighbor if we let him continue in his sin? But this is what it means. Let them feel, let them see, let them hear that you are motivated by love, a love for God and for them. Not the kind of wishy-washy love which always speaks of peace and never warns of dangers, which says that God loves you but never tells you that the same God can also be very angry at you, but a love that rests on the truth, a love that comes from God himself. If people then take offense, if they then refuse to repent, then you know that they take offense at God. Then they refuse to listen to the Bible, to his word. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. That's much the same as saying, you shall speak the truth in love. Yes, that's difficult. That just doesn't go by itself. That requires godly training, prayer, reading the scriptures, self-denial, humility, faith, hope, love. Yes, love most of all. It's so easy, brothers and sisters, so easy to run your brother or sister down, to point to all his failures, to rake up all his mistakes. And it's so tempting at the same time, especially when you want to elevate yourself, promote your own importance, push your own views, but to promote the honor and reputation of your neighbor, to stick up for your brothers and sisters, to defend their name, and to have patience with their shortcomings, that requires a lot more. That can only be done when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the love of God constrains us, when the Holy Spirit indwells us. And is that not the reality from which we may live? Did the Lord not make us a new creation? Is the power of Jesus Christ not available for all who trust in him? Let us then go to our God, beloved. He will strengthen us. He will fill us with his truth and love so that we start to live according to the 9th commandment more and more. How would the congregation flourish? How would the communion of saints grow? How would the brotherhood be built up? How would our neighbors benefit? How would the world take notice? How would God be glorified when we love to speak the truth and when we speak the truth in love? Oh yes, it will remain a struggle, and we will often fall and fail. But let's never forget the blood of Jesus Christ, which was also shed for our sins against this commandment. Neither let us ever become discouraged because of our many shortcomings. Our honor and reputation, beloved, is nothing to write home about. How often don't we let God and our neighbor down? And yet, there's Jesus, our advocate. He sticks up for us of all things. He defends and he promotes our honor and reputation before his Father. And how does he do that? By speaking the truth, oh yes. But by speaking it in love. He doesn't point to all our sins. He doesn't delight in raking up all our shortcomings, but he points to his blood, the blood of the covenant, the blood of true communion, the blood that washes all our sins away. Let us then show him our love and our thankfulness by learning from him, putting away all falsehood and speaking the truth in love with everybody, of course, but especially with our brothers and sisters, so that true concord and peace may reign in our midst. For let's not forget it. Through faith, we belong to Christ and therefore also to each other in a communion of truth and love. Amen. Now confess our Catholic and our Christian faith by singing together hymn 1.
Oh.
Let us pray. Father, we thank you also for your holy law. For how would we ever know how to live if it wasn't for your commandments? How could we show you that we love you without knowing your holy will? Will you help us also to live up to the 9th commandment? May we all reveal in our life that we truly believe in the gospel of grace by taking your word seriously and by obeying your law, your will, out of love and thankfulness. Engrave your commandments on our hearts so that we will never make that fatal mistake as if your love for us in Jesus Christ does not know of any obligations of the service, the serious calling to reveal that we love you and the neighbor, not only by means of our words, but also and especially by means of our actions, that it may become more and more obvious that we no longer live for ourselves, but that Christ dwells in our hearts, who makes us willing and ready to submit to your will, also when it comes to the command not to bear false witness against our neighbor. Father, help us in this new week to live as your children. Bind us together more and more in your truth, and may we all speak it in love for the benefit of each other, so that your church is edified and the communion of saints really blossoms. Be, Lord, with those that need your special care and presence. Be with our seniors. Be with those who are lonely and ill. We think especially of Sister Youngs, who is battling with kidney disease. Father, be near to her in her rather advanced age, and bless her also together with her husband. Help them, Lord, to live out of your hands in the knowledge, Father, that our life is safely wrapped up in your care, and that whatever happens to us is ultimately decided by you, and we may always live from that wonderful comfort that we confess in the first Lord's Day of the Catechism, that in life and in death, and with body and soul, and in good years and in bad years, in health and in sickness, in old age and in childhood, we belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and that is the greatest treasure a human being may have. All by grace, all thanks to your love for sinners. Amen. The offering again is for the work of the deaconry, and after the offering we will sing Psalm 40, 2 and 4. Lift up your heart unto God, receive the blessing of the Lord, and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.